Hello and welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. We are a podcast about video games. My name is Richie, and with me, as always, is Farley, aka Kunzy11, who will say hello, explain why we are called DS this season, and tell you where to find us on the internet.
Hello! We are called DS this season because we've based our entire seasonal podcasts around the Nintendo DS dual screen console. That means, like the DS, which has two screens, our podcast has two halves and a break in the middle with some questions. And that makes sense. And you may remember that there were some DS games which had a D and a S subtitle, such as, I hope I've not used this already, Resident Evil Deadly Silence. Richie, do you remember the Resident Evil Deadly Silence?
Yes, I remember it from another podcast where you talked about the DS. No. I remember Deadly Silence. Do I remember Deadly Silence?
It was the Resident Evil 1 remake for the DS with touchscreen controls.
Cool. Awesome.
You can find our writings at www.thatguys.co.uk. You can also find us on most of the socials at thatguysamaniac. All one word, all lowercase. Richie, over to you. No, not over to you yet, because at the beginning of the season, we randomly put some D words and some S words in some bags. And we're going to pick some D words and some S words out the bags. Richie? I believe you have a big bag of D's.
I have a big bag of D's. I'm going to rummage in the big bag of D's. And
pick the D.
I'm picking the D. Oh, I got a D. Oh, there's two stuck together.
Oh. What do the rules say about this?
Nothing. We have to make some on-the-spot calls. Let's get in the adjudicator.
Let's check the words.
The words are double and dragon.
Oh, well, we might have already recorded some episodes with those words, but let's go for it. Double dragon.
Double dragon. And Farley, over to you. Your big bag of S's.
I've got a big bag of S's here, listeners. Readers. Listeners and readers. I'm rifling through. This is not making a very good sound effect. It's too soft. Trying. Yes, thank you. Oh, I've got an S. I've got one. It's coming out. I can see the head. Trying to remember what it, I mean, trying to read it. Scarlet is the word. Scarlet.
Scarlet. Okay.
The color, the letter. Scarlet.
Scarlet. The scarlet letter.
There we go. That's our episode. Double Dragon Scarlet.
Double Dragon Scarlet. Okay.
Let's take it away with Double Dragon.
I don't know if I can match your energy for this episode.
I got a voice and everything.
You got a voice and everything. Okay, so we are doing a reflection episode, a what are you playing?
Yes.
We're going to delve into some of the games that we've been playing, if you hadn't already guessed that. Farley, in classic merchant style. What are you playing?
Well, my friend described my playing of this game as a mental illness, and I think since he said those mean words, I agree with him. I've only been playing one game basically this entire year, and it is Pokemon Violet.
No, see, that's not true. It's not just one game, is it? It is almost every game and transferring everything to Pokemon Home. You're playing Pokemon Home.
I'm playing Pokemon the spreadsheet organizing. But
yeah.
There has recently been some DLC. That stands for downloadable content. Richie, have you played the DLC?
I have not played the DLC just yet.
Okay, this is going to be really good podcast, isn't it?
Well, no, it's fine. Like, I'm not.
Spoilers?
I'm not worried about spoilers.
Well, spoilers, everybody. There's Pokemon in this new DLC.
Shit. There's Pokemon.
Pocket Ruined. Monsters.
Ruined.
You catch them
Pokemon.
In balls. Yeah. There's Pikachus. This new DLC is a downloadable content for Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet. There's two planned that we know of. Probably just two. And this one is the Teal Mask. And it takes us to the region of Kitak Kumi Kitakami, which is basically a Japanese rural setting. There's a bank of rice paddies, there's a mountain, there's some small villages, there aren't any Pokemon centers, and a little storyline to follow through. I've pretty much done most of the DLC. It's not huge if you beeline it. One of the interesting things about it, which I know tickles your fancy, Richie, is you can just roll up with a team of level 100 Pokemon and just pretty much walk through the entire thing.
Why would that tickle my fancy?
Well, it didn't. I remember when. What game is it that came out? Is it Platinum?
Platinum, yeah.
One of the games came out where normally there was a restriction on when you could transfer in Pokemon from other games.
Yeah.
And then one of them, maybe it was Platinum, maybe it was Black 2, White 2, where they just said that. However.
I think you're misremembering what I did there. So I actually made level 1. I bred the ones that I wanted and sent them over. So I had a team of 6 almost immediately in Platinum that I just took through the game, and I used Platinum as an excuse because I had to race through as quickly as possible to get Darkrai. And I used an excuse to level up. Yeah,
it wasn't the fact that you could trounce through it, but it was the fact that you could pretty much play through that game with whatever Pokemon you want.
Yeah,
you
do that in, don't get me wrong, I gave them some solid moves. It just meant that they weren't going to be killed, sort of thing.
Yeah. So you can do that here. It's not hugely challenging. The story's okay. There are 7 new Pokemon, 1 new form. Most of them are not very good. And Richie, we've got some returning favorites.
Okay.
This game adds a bunch of Pokemon which have not previously been available in Scarlet and Violet, including such fan favorites as Geodude.
Okay.
That line.
What would be my favorite returning Pokemon?
Your favorite returning Pokemon? Rabombi.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Cool.
I've been particularly enjoying coughing and wheezing being back.
Nice.
Just because I've, for the most part, always had the version, as you may not know, readers, there are some Pokemon which are paired. So that one of the gimmicks of Pokemon is that you have some paired games, and not all of them are available in each game. So you have to find a friend and trade. And I've always somehow managed to wrangle getting the wrong game, so I've never had a opportunity to, for example, shiny hunt an Ekans or an Arbok, and to a certain extent, to a lesser extent, coughing and wheezing. So I've had some great fun with these OG Team Rocket poison Pokemon.
Nice.
Set myself up with a nice little picnic, got myself 2 shiny coughings, and then I've kind of moved them back into older games. All the ribbons.
The best part about shiny coughing is the gas is a different color. He changes color ever so slightly, but the gas comes out green.
He changes color quite significantly.
He goes from purple to blue.
It's strong green.
It's still in the same kind of bluish spectrum.
Spectrum.
Yeah.
So there's some awesome new biomes. I think it's not hugely significant, so if you played Scarlet and Violet and just didn't really like the way it felt, this isn't going to convince you. But there are some interesting new areas, one of which is like a geothermal volcanic region, not region, like area. So the ground is crusted with sulfur. They're like steam vents. There's lots of coughing there. But if you pop yourself a special little picnic to get more title shiny poison Pokemon, you're very, very quickly surrounded by hundreds of coughing. But fortunately, it's quite easy to spot. the shiny ones. Listeners, readers beware. Coughing carries quite an array of self-destructive
things. Oh god, yes.
So if you are shiny hunting, you might want to bring a Pokemon with a damp ability.
Which stops them exploding.
Stops exploding, stops, I think it has memento.
God.
memento, explosion, and self-destruct. So yes, I've been having a rollicking great time. The finally available is the item finder mark. So if, like me, you're quite keen on getting your favorite Pokemon with all the possible ribbons they can get, so champion ribbons from Pokemon Fire Red, purification ribbons from the GameCube games, battle royale ribbons from Sun and Moon, Scarlet and Violet introduced these marks. So normally in Sword and Shield, these marks were kind of randomly on Pokemon. So if you were catching Pokemon in the morning, you might get a Dawn Mark Pokemon. Or there's a random chance of getting a Social Pokemon, a Dozing Pokemon. Scarlet and Violet has introduced a feature where you can earn marks on your Pokemon. And the DLC adds one that was found in data but wasn't accessible before, called the Item Finder Mark. So if you go around with your favorite Pokemon, keep sending it out and finding items. And let me tell you this, readers, the DLC is full of items. There's shinies everywhere. Turn around and they've all respawned. There's shinies, there's new TMs, there's items everywhere. As you can quickly earn item finder marks on all your favorites. And play through the storyline featuring four Pokemon. Not a spoiler, I don't think, because it was all over the trailers. One called Ogerpon, and then the Loyal... Is it the Loyal 3?
Loyal 3.
The Loyal 3. Loyalty 3? Something like that. And they all have silly names. Fezandipity, Monkey Dory, and I forget the other one.
But you also got the new forms of the legendary dogs, or something like that?
No, that's coming in the next one.
Next one? Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
The other ones this introduces... And it took me a long time to work this out. So one of the main goals, I guess, is to complete your Kitakami Pokedex. Annoyingly, it's extremely strict about how you do that. So if, like me, you're worried about filling out your Pokemon Home Go Dex, it doesn't count. If you have a Conkeldurr from Black and White 2, you have to catch and trade and evolve a Conkeldurr in order to get it in your Pokemon Home Dex. But you can transfer it in to get it on the in-game deck. It took me a long time to work out how to get a new Pokemon called Diplin. Have you come across Diplin?
I have not come across Diplin.
Oh, really? Okay. Diplin is a new evolution, it turns out. I thought it was a new form. A new evolution of...
Oh, Applin. Yeah, the Toffee Apple version of Applin. Yeah.
Yes, it's a Toffee Apple version of Applin. So Applin... is a apple-themed dragon Pokemon.
Yeah.
it's like a little wormy thing in an apple introduced in Sword and Shield, and it can evolve into, if you give it the item Tart Apple, it turns into Flapple, which is like a flying dragon skinned apple type thing.
Is it not an apple pie?
No, if you give it a sweet apple, it turns into Apple Tongue, okay. which is the Mr. Kipling apple pie type Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then there's a new item here, which is quite well hidden, which I didn't find for ages without looking it up. You give it that and it turns into Diplin, which is a toffee apple wormy dragon thing. And interestingly, Eviolite works on Diplin.
Oh. Oh, so Diplin's got an evolution.
Apparently, but not in this DLC.
Ah, but in the code it does. Okay. That's interesting.
The other new Pokemon, which again was announced through a big announcement trailer, is what do they call them? They call them convergent Pokemon. It's Pokemon's like a weird thing where you used to have forms. You'd have your Cantonian Meowth, your Alolan Meowth, your Galarian Meowth. But now they're doing things like convergent forms. So you've got Diglett and Wigglett, par exemple. And there's a new convergent form, which is Sinistra, and whatever it evolves into, which is like a not a form of Sinistry and Poltergeist.
Oh, Sinistra. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and based on like Matcha and Kitsuki, which is the Japanese art of filling in cracks with gold.
Yeah, he had lots and lots of memes of doing very disturbing things with that big face.
Yes, and he likes to fill in all kinds of cracks with his magic Matcha, which also sucks away your life force. So Pokemon Company continuing to produce short videos of people being murked by ghost Pokemon. As this little tea caddy sucks the life force out of children.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I like the convergent evolution Pokemon related things. I like the fact that they're, because I always feel like there is, sounding old, there's just too many Pokemon, but I like the idea that revisiting old designs, I definitely like that, just to sort of see the make a more fancy Persian or you know, I don't know why I chose Persian as an example, but give their more evolutions or pre-evolutions, and I don't know, give different forms, or eventually, of course, or indeed kind of what's already happened, the there's that whole thing, the Pokemon mashup tool that was very popular a few years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can see that happening in a future Pokemon release.
Yeah. And one of the nice facts about it is because they're not forms, they are different species. You could rock a team which has, you know, both. You can have a Doug trio and a Wug trio. Which before wouldn't have been out. You can rock a team of Alolan Persian, Cantonian Persian.
No.
Oh, no, there isn't a Galarian Persian. It's getting very confusing.
Yep. Berserker, and it was a different thing. It just looked like Meowth.
Yeah,
but it
evolved
was.
From Meowth, but is not a Persian. Who else is back? A few whatevers. The Conkeldurr line is back. Poliwag line is back. Spinarak's back.
Spinarak's back.
Hmm?
Spinarak's back.
Spinarak's back.
Yeah.
On the attack. I had a thoroughly nice time. Like I say, I've not completed. There's various little side bits. There's a few fun things which involve you going, having to go back to the main region to do. It's nice because I think, as I said before, Scarlet and Violet came out around the time when I was taking part in Industrial Action. So I feel like I burnt through that game a little bit quicker than I should have done. So
you absolutely did.
So there was a lot of, I don't really have a reason to log into this game. So the DLC was a nice excuse to kind of go back and get interested and catch Pokemon again, do a bit of shiny hunting, get the new Pokemon, some new items, new challenges. But the storyline's fine, it's Pokemon, we're not expecting war and peace out of it. it revolves around the new legendary Pokemon. I'm just having a very nice time.
Cool.
That's pretty much all I've been playing. Well, that and then all the admin of, I've got shiny coughing. If I don't evolve it and transfer it back to BDSP and then get all the contest ribbons and the daily ribbons and the Sinnoh champion and then move it to Sword and Shield and then do the tower and get the Galarian ribbon, then move it into blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, your spreadsheet management is insane.
It's just honestly, I've literally been adding lines to the spreadsheet and checking that. And it's not, you know, it's objectively not fun. Like one of the things, for example, if you have a, I call it a shiny, what's it, Mian Shao? Who evolves into Mian Shao?
It's basically a smaller version of it. Oh god, this is such a great game. Mian Shao. I want to say,
and I know it's wrong, I want to say Kung Fu, but I know that's wrong.
I want to say Furfru. I don't know why. That is so annoying. Oh, man.
Mian Fu.
Really?
Yeah, Mian Fu. I know. Readers, inside track. Richie and I used to genuinely do a test thing where we thought that Satan might pop up and challenge us to name all 600 and whatever Pokemon at the time.
At the time, yeah.
And we would sit there in the pub and write down the names of all of them.
We were even worse at it. Like, we made the game quite easy. We showed each other a picture of the Pokemon, and it was just kind of name it, and it was just like, fuck. Because some of them get hard.
I mean, Mian Fu is pretty hard.
Yeah, it really is. But there was things like, what else did we do? It was like, you had to try and guess what the next one was.
Yeah.
And if you didn't guess it, you got a picture of it, and then you had to try and work out what their name was. And then we'd quiz each other on things like middle evolution starter Pokemon names, which are really hard because you only ever have them, sometimes only for a split second. Yeah, you know, before you quickly like just evolve them.
What does Turtwig evolve into?
I couldn't even tell you Turtwig's top evolution either. Could you? Torterra.
Yes, and Grotor.
Grotor. Okay, yeah. Nice.
Grotor.
Yeah.
Turtwig, Grotor. Torterra. Ooh.
See, this is the games that we would play at the pub. We are the most interesting people you would ever meet.
Anyway,
sitting there with our two DSs, me drinking a Wicked Blue and you with a pint of something.
Living our best lives. As I say, I caught a shiny, this is a real example, I caught a shiny Mian Fu in Pokemon Go. Right? Oh, okay, that's cool. I'd like to have shiny Mian Fu in the Pokedex of every game which you can have it in. So then that involves transferring from Pokemon Go on mobile to home, which is also on mobile, but you can't really do anything on mobile. It's also on Switch, logging into the Switch, and then logging into home BDSP, picking up Mian Fu from my box, dropping it into BDSP, pressing start to save, getting booted back to the title screen, going back, choosing BDSP, moving Mian Fu back from BDSP into home, pressing start.
This is awful, awful content. I appreciate and I understand your absolute pain.
Going back into start, saving the thing. So there's been a lot of that, in addition to running around in the open world, catching Pokemon and finding items, unraveling the story.
Okay, so how many divergent evolutions would you give it out of 7? Just the DLC.
Just
not
the
all
DLC.
The other bullshit. Not all the other bullshit you've been
not
doing.
Not all the other, just the DLC. I'd say 5.
Okay.
5 convergent evolutions. That's up, yeah.
Divergent. It's divergent, not convergent.
It's more Pokemon. It's a new region. There's some fun bits to do. Storyline and hints of what's to come.
Yeah,
in the last bits.
Cool.
That is what I have been playing.
Do you have a question for me?
Is it time for break time?
Well, I don't think it's time for break time. I think we'll get time for something else.
I don't have any other games, so maybe it's time for break time.
Okay, you don't have any other games. Brilliant. Okay. Oh yeah, you said that at the start, didn't you? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I thought you had like a massive list.
No.
Okay, great. Well, let's go for break time, and then the next half will be all of the other games that I've been playing as well.
Yes, it's break time, readers.
Break time.
Break time.
Now, welcome to the middle of the podcast. In this bit of the podcast, we ask each other some question cards from Ultimate Video Game Trivia. Are you going to do your annoying thing?
My annoying thing?
Yeah.
How am I annoying?
Are you ready? Are you braced? Are you waiting?
Oh, right. No, you can ask me a question.
Okay.
Mix it up. I am braced.
I'm braced.
Are you ready? Are you braced?
Throbbing?
I am not throbbing.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you anyway. The MMORPG game, World of Warcraft.
Okay, tough one.
Who takes over from Arthas as the new Lich King?
Bolvar for Dragon.
Have I asked this before?
No, I just know it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a good cutscene, because he'd been set on fire previously. So he's a man on fire, and he becomes the Lich King, who's very, very frosty. So I imagine it's just a very nice, soothing thing.
Does the fire turn to ice fire?
I don't know. Like, he's a good guy, and he's basically just becoming the Lich King to keep everything at bay.
You heard about this new Lich King? Yeah, he's a nice guy.
No. Like, Bolvar's a nice guy. Yeah, he was a good egg. And the reason he's
lend you a cup of sugar if you'd run out.
Definitely. Okay. Right, are you ready for this one? I feel like you are not going to get this one.
Okay.
I have no fucking clue what this is. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Which PlayStation 5 launch game?
Yeah.
Is set on Snacktooth Island.
Yeah.
That I have no more to that question.
Island.
Can you name any PlayStation 5 launch games?
Spider-Man? Bugsnax?
It is Bugsnax. What the hell is Bugsnax? How did you know that? Did you Google PS5 launch games?
No, I just remember. And you know how some games become forever tied to a launch window. So, what was an awful one for the PlayStation 3? It was like a generic platformer. I want to say Klonoa, but I know it definitely isn't Klonoa. Anyway, like Gears of War is Xbox 360. So I just knew the Bugsnax and Spider-Man were my go-to.
I have never heard of Bugsnax.
I couldn't tell you what happens in it.
Okay.
But I imagine. What's it called? Snacktooth Island?
Snacktooth Island, yeah.
I imagine it's a
candy-related, super sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Hit me.
No, I'm invested in Bugsnax now.
No, you don't be invested.
There's some memes about it. Oh, yeah, it looks like a cartoon thing. It's a bad, cheap.
Bad, cheap.
Pomorphized strawberry. What is the name of Cuphead's brother?
Saucerhead.
Very close. It was Mugman.
Mugman.
Okay. Cuphead and Mugman. Which doesn't make sense that they have the same surname.
Don't they?
Well, Head isn't really his surname. A man isn't really his surname. It's just Cuphead and Mugman. Like Madonna or shit.
Yeah, okay.
And this Cuphead surname's head. Cuphead head and Mugman head.
Yeah, like Mario and Mario Luigi.
No, Mario and Luigi Mario.
Luigi Mario, yeah.
Woohoo.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Which company
purchased
the Oculus Rift in 2014 for $2
billion? Is it Facebook?
Yes. Now Meta, but it was Facebook at that time. Yeah.
God, what happened to that? Now, do you know what? To be fair, full disclosure, this is secretly what you're playing. I completely forgot that. I had a go on the PlayStation VR the other day.
Yeah.
At a friend's house.
You don't have friends.
And it's quite good. I played I don't think it's a PlayStation 5 game, but it's like an old VR game they've ported up. It's the Transformers one. Do you know this one?
Which one? Devastation? No, Devastation.
No, it's its own VR thing.
Oh, okay.
And you're running forward. Essentially, it's like a rail shooter.
Okay.
And you're shooting. I was shooting Insecticons popping out left, right, center.
Nice.
And it was really good. You know, you look down, and instead of your arms, you've got Transformer arms with one of them has like a Gatling gun, one of them has like a pistol. Transformers Beyond Reality, I think it's called.
Okay.
And it was a good time. Yeah, it's a really good time.
Cool.
The reason why I say this apologetically is because I was about to slag off VR.
Yeah.
That's been
but
rubbish.
I think like Meta VR sets are still a thing. Very much out there. It's just very few people are getting them because it's not like a proper platform. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Is it to me? It feels a bit like how vapes are these days, where you need a vape brand and a bucket and some tobacco and a battery pod and a, you know.
Yeah. No. I think
it's just too confusing.
Or the Meta VR thing, it was harshly criticized because it was very, very much subsidized, and they also could sunset the hardware at any time as well. So it was kind of like, all right, okay, I can buy this, but I'm maybe only buying it for a year. Okay, that's not cool. I don't know. I don't like the idea of VR headsets. Just because it's claustrophobic, I like the Apple one where if somebody's near you, an avatar of them appears and stuff like that. I like that idea, but
So with the PS5 one, you pop it on, and then it kind of scans your surroundings, which is very cool. So you are in VR, but also you can see your surroundings.
Oh, cool.
And then during like menu screens or whatever, you still get a sense of that. So it's not like you're totally isolated from the outside world.
Okay.
But with this Transformers VR game, whatever it's called, which is very good, but you know, it's fine. It's a rail shooter, but there is something magical because it's your hands. You will quite easily be kind of with one hand with a Gatling gun shooting a bunch of Insecticons on the left hand side, and at the same time, because it's just your vision, right, shooting something that's on the right hand side, you know, and your brain does a great job of tracking various objects moving around in a way that you just never do with a controller. But it is immersive, and then after a while, you know, I had people watching and they'd be on the sidelines, but don't move to your left because you've moved quite far across the room and you're about to destroy something. Yeah. So really immersive that way. Surprisingly so. But yeah, it still feels, you know, considering the cost of these things as well, I don't know how much of Oculus Rift is at the moment.
And it's about 450 quid.
Oh, it just seems like such a gamble for like what is the killer, you know, it's the killer app. Or what do you have?
Well,
to have it
was the Beat Saber thing. Everybody was doing Beat Saber for ages, and I think that was all Meta, Facebook, or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, I played that on the PlayStation 5 as well.
All right, okay, then I'm clearly wrong.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It just seems like a really expensive prospect, but it's not like buying a console. And like, well, I know that there'll be games that I like.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent maybe 10, 20 years ago would be the plastic Guitar Hero things, but they were like 20 quid as opposed to 500 quid.
Yeah.
And like, especially the PC, it becomes its own other crazy problem because you have to have graphics cards that can handle output to TV and to the VR headset as well.
Yeah, which seems like quite a lot of investment for one evening of, oh yeah, that was quite cool, but you know, I don't want to stand up and play this entire game.
yeah, exactly. And just like, I like the whole thing of like, you can put yourself in a virtual movie theater, and because of the sound around you and the fact that you can make the screen bigger than your eyesight can actually, you know, get it, you feel immersed in a movie theater. That's cool, but at the same time, I just wouldn't want to be that person sitting watching a movie and are worried that the door's gonna go but I don't hear it, or
someone's just very quietly
stealing all of your stuff.
I'm putting it ever closer to your face as you wouldn't even know.
Yep. Like if you turn your head sharply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? I don't remember. Oh God. Willy in my face. I didn't pay for or expect.
Oh dear.
No one likes surprise Willy.
Are we done with break time now?
I think we've exhausted break time, yes. Let's go to the second half of the podcast. Scarlet doesn't really mean anything, does it? What have you been playing?
I've been playing quite a few games, one of which is the side-scrolling roguelite beat-em-up Double Dragon Gaiden Rise of the Dragons.
That's not the first half of the podcast, that's called.
Yeah. Well, really not the first half.
In the first half. It was called Double Dragon, and I just said Scarlet.
We don't split the podcast that way.
That's how, in my mind, that's how I split it.
Okay, well, Double Dragon Gaiden, Rise of the Dragons.
Now, to me, this sounds like, what was that other game that came out which had like a 80s movie spin-off? Blood?
Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this in any way like this, or is it just a funky title?
It's just Double Dragon again. Okay. That's all.
No, I recently played the original Double Dragon on the Nintendo Switch Online emulators. It's really bad. The OG one is really bad.
So, this one isn't great.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that.
It's fine, but they've added the roguelite element to it.
Of course, yeah.
So getting through the game maybe takes an hour. Probably you can get that time right down, but first time run through, you get an hour. You then get tokens to spend. And those tokens then make the game better.
Okay.
Now...
What a weird concept.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how it works.
Play the game at its worst first time.
Yeah. So it is really bad. It's very, very janky controls. Quite not too dissimilar to an NES-style control. So, I mean, that's fine. I figured they were going for that retro aspect. The graphics are quite retro. Divided in some other features to make it pretty. It is quite easy. But then you, as you go through, you can up the difficulty, and that sort of exponential thing that rogue-like style things do. I have played through it once. I thought, that was quite cool. That was fun. It is very reminiscent, tone-wise, of Streets of Rage 4. Just because that sort of future 80s, early 80s manga style. You can go pixelated if you want. But it just does it in a... It does it in a manner that just makes you think, I'd rather play Streets of Rage 4. You know?
Yes, and it's looking, or watching a video of it now. Like, if you're a Double Dragon fan, it's quite cool because it is harking back to the original Double Dragon, not Double Dragon 2 and 3. In the, you know, the height of your character, the animations, everyone's kind of like chibi with a massive head.
Yep. But it plays like one of those games to start off with as well. And it's fine, you know, like, I get it and I play through it. I just think that all of the other added functionality, which will probably make this a better game, has come at a point in the game where I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm probably not going to play this anymore. Which is a shame, because it probably should have been like roguelite. I don't know. Because there was some upgrades in between, which was like, oh yeah, finally, great. I can do like a better combo. You know, but that feels like that should be core functionality as opposed to something that I have to unlock and pay for. The two main characters, you've got Billy Lee and Jimmy Lee. They're fine. They're your standard, you know, attackers. Marion and Uncle Martin are two additional characters. So when you go into a game of Double Dragon, you have to choose two characters because you're going to switch out, and as you switch out, you can then gain, well, actually later on, once you unlock some of the roguelite options, you can heal your character whilst they're in the background, which is pretty much a needed thing to do. Marion has a gun, which seems pretty imba for
Marion has a gun.
And she's she does a lot of ranged attacks, and then Uncle Martin has this charge attack, so he's kind of brawler style, getting up close and stuff like that, with a big shield. The tone of those guys seem very, very different from Billy and Jimmy Lee. But I like the retro graphics. I like the retro sort of 80s, 90s, early sort of anime style. I just don't think it's got the replayability for it to justify being a roguelike or roguelite.
Do you think if, much like Streets of Rage, the new Turtles game, if it was just a po-faced, this is a side-scrolling beat-em-up, and they ditched the whole leveling up roguelike thing, it would be a better game?
I think they could have extended the game levels, because there is only four.
Is there definitely only four? It's not that you, on replays, you open up other levels?
Not that I'm aware of. Like, maybe there's more content in that sort of side of things, but I believe there's only four, and then there's like a final boss character.
Because as you have described it, just seems like there's really no motivation to go and play it back through again. Like, why? Why would you be doing that?
Apparently the token system adds extra things, so you can unlock the characters that you... Yeah, I know. Like, you can unlock the characters that you killed. So, you're defeating gang leaders. You can unlock them to have as characters.
That's cool.
I can imagine that's fun. and I but again, like, there was playing through it, there wasn't a great feeling of enjoying it and connecting and getting combos. Actually, rather annoyingly, whenever you special attack and you kill three or more people, you get a food bonus, so you get to heal up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a great big flash in the middle of screen of like a hot dog or a chicken dinner or whatever, and it's like, great, and it just takes you out of the flow so much. And also, sometimes finding that food under a pile of bodies that you've just put there is a pain in the arse. I think it's fine. It's just, given that I've played so many of these other side-scrolling beat-em-ups recently, I just feel that it...
With many of which have a retro feel as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I feel like that's part of the genre now, you know? Yeah. It just feels like it falls short.
Playing on?
Steam, PC. Okay. It is available on, like, everything, I think.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I was slightly excited about it, and it just came up short to not even slightly excited, which is very telling about the game, I would say. Yeah. So, in conclusion, my rating is...
How many Double Dragons out of two would you give it?
Half.
Okay, half a Double Dragon and a Double Dragon.
Two Double Dragons.
half a Double Dragon? One dragon or half a Double Dragon?
Half a Double Dragon out of two dragons.
One dragon?
Two Double Dragons.
Okay.
Half a Double Dragon out of two Double Dragons.
So one dragon now. Or half.
One dragon or one double.
It's very clear. Very clear. Review.
I think that's our best scoring.
Metacritic. Critic, yeah. If you're listening, and whack that on your official press reviews. Half a Double Dragon, possibly a dragon out of Double Dragon.
I think all of our reviews should be out of Double Dragons.
Richie, what are you playing?
So another game that I've been playing and enjoying. Is Mortal Kombat 1.
Mortal Kombat 1.
You sound so enthused by me talking about Mortal Kombat. Do I not talk about Mortal Kombat enough on this show?
It's been a while. I think we made it into a thing and then it's been a while. So I've seen a lot of bullshit about Mortal Kombat recently, implying that there's some new Mortal Kombat thing. Is this the new Mortal Kombat? Is it a remake? Is it what? Or is it over? You just straight up gone back to...
It's a sequel. It's just another sequel in the series.
Okay. But it's number one. It's called number one.
Right, so it's called Mortal Kombat 1 because after Mortal Kombat 11...
Yeah.
I don't know if... Do you remember the plot of Mortal Kombat 11?
I did watch a Let's Play.
Just a Let's Play of it, okay.
To get all through the cast.
So basically... Raiden tries to do something, turns evil, Raiden's evil for a bit, and then Time Guardians step in, and it turns out the Time Guardians are evil. Liu Kang beats everybody and becomes the new Time Guardian.
Right.
So he does a reset of the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Back to when?
Back to the start. Like, resets everything, the whole of time. And he sits through the whole of time, but he sets things up. So he set things up like Shang Tsung could never be a sorcerer. So he just becomes a sort of sideshow hustler in Outland. Quang Chi can never reach becoming an evil guy. And things like that. And he maintains a good relationship between Outland and Earthrealm. But and this is where it comes into Mortal Kombat 1. The tournament starts as Mortal Kombat 1 tournament should start, but we're now playing it as in Liu Kang's new universe.
Mm-hmm.
So Raiden is now just a Shaolin monk working or training alongside Kung Lao, mm-hmm. Instead of Liu Kang. So they're doing their thing. Sub-Zero's still alive, and but he's working closely with Liu Kang, so Liu Kang's trying to keep everybody on board, and that sort of thing. But then something's gone wrong.
Oh no.
Yeah, somebody, and I still haven't got to this point in the plot yet, somebody has meddled with it and actually managed to get Shang Tsung his powers back, as well as Quan Chi. So it's kind of like, oh, meddling is afoot, things are happening, and now everybody's loyalties are changing, and playing out in a different way. But also, weirdly, people are falling to the same fates. So Kenshi, I don't know if you know this Mortal Kombat character, he's the guy that's blind, has a sword. He gets blinded in a different way. Melina isn't a clone that is grown, she's actually Kitana's sister, but she's contracted a disease which makes her do that weird mouth thing. So, spoilers, but it's just like these fates are sort of conspiring to give them the same lines, obviously just so that we can have the same characters, but it's fun the way it's unfolding. And yeah, I mean, that's the plot. Aside to that, they've added some fun new modes, and the biggest change is, and this is a thing that they do in a lot of beat-em-up games, in fact it's quite reminiscent of what I was just talking about with Double Dragon as well, you have to choose two characters. You always have an assist. I don't know where that came from or why that happened.
Like a Marvel vs. Capcom type assist. Or yeah. You switch out.
You can switch out or you can have them assist.
Okay. Yeah, like so, NPC.
Yeah, so they kind of got rid of the run button, and run is now just double tap. And you just press that button and you can bring someone in, or they can break the combo break with you and things like that as well. It's not terrible. And it's fun because it's different.
Is the first DLC pack out yet?
I don't believe, well, yes, there was a unreleased DLC pack, but there is more that's already been announced, which includes some superhero characters,
DC people,
Invincible Man, the guy from the Boys,
Homelander,
and what was the DC ones?
Peacemaker,
yeah, John Cena, and they've got John Claude Van Damme,
Omni Man, Ermac, and Takeda.
Oh, Takeda's in it, okay.
Apparently. According to a leak back in July.
Okay. But yeah, like, DLC's always been much of a muchness. I liked it when they did. Well, I mean, it's fun when they bring in other characters from other franchises. Yeah. You know, I liked having Rambo, Robocop, and Terminator in Mortal Kombat. Not Bruce Campbell, though. That never surfaced.
Never happened. All of season one was a lie, and it's probably season two.
And probably season three as well.
Probably season three as well. Now, have you got the inside scoop on the Switch version?
I've heard it's pretty shit. I did not expect it to not be shit, put it that way.
Yeah, there was a lot of mockery online because there's, unlike other ports where it's like, oh, the frame rate and da da da, it is like it's night and day between hilarious side by sides as to like, oh my god, what's happening, with why bother with the Switch version at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I part of how I feel about the Switch at the moment is it is getting to that point where it needs to have an upgrade. And it's not just to support Mortal Kombat or things like that, but I think in general, a lot of AAA games are going to be pumping out big graphics and things like that. And I think, yeah. But, yeah, why bother with the Switch port? Why bother? It bugs me.
Or lean into it, you know. Just don't try and replicate what you've got on the other systems. Do something a little bit different.
Exactly. That's a very good point. Lean into it is a very, very, like, make it more bare bones or whatever. Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah.
Or just make it sprites.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell the same story, but just use sprites instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just go back to 16-bit.
I love that idea. Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, well, this is, the Switch can handle this. And I imagine there'll be a load of people who actually probably prefer it.
Yeah. Like, because we don't have enough retro side-scrollers.
Don't have enough retro side-scroller pixelated beat-ups on any platform at the moment. Okay, so have you beaten it yet or not? Implied you haven't.
No, I actually just got the achievement for 50% through the story mode.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What a shit achievement, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you remember they used to be imaginative and creative and not just arbitrary percentage through? There you go. Have a fucking achievement.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I've got halfway through. I'm hoping that they kind of do a sort of span of like Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. My hope is so the Mortal Kombat 1 tournament's happened, somebody won, and now things are getting a bit icky and weird and people are changing. It's like the intermediary between Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 2 was a bit more set in Outland and stuff like that, so maybe, I don't know.
And what about all the kids? Because they were quite popular, right? I assume they're just gone.
They're gone. And they weren't popular. They were awful.
Nah, I like them.
Cassie. Takeda.
The other one. The other one and the other one. Yeah, Cassie was great. And her interaction with Johnny Cage and all that stuff.
It was fun. Yeah, I suppose that was fun, yeah.
How many Double Dragons out of Double Dragon would you give it?
I'm going to give it 1.5 Double Dragons out of 2 Double Dragons.
3/4 Double Dragon. So
yeah, so double Dragon.
1.5 out of Double Dragon. Okay, 75%. 7 out of 10 in traditional sleep.
8 out of 10 if you round it up.
Okay.
And I'd be playing other games as well, but actually, you know what, I'm just going to do a quick final mention of another game that I've been playing. Quick fire round. So it's actually a series of games that I've been playing. They are terrible, but I had so much fun playing them for the 30 seconds that you can play them. It is a series of games from a little company that are basically just doing drawings. So it's called Cats Hidden in Italy, Cats Hidden in Paris, Cats Hidden in Bali. Cats Hidden in Paris has DLC, which is another part of Paris. It is a big drawing. And they have subtly added in pictures of cats or little drawings of cats. You have to click on them and you have to find 100 cats in this drawing. There's then a time mode if you care. But each cat has a meow. Each cat has a name that pops up as an achievement. So there's 100 achievements in the game. There are other things to click which do things, like you can click a dog or a mouse or you can open a door and things like that. Fun. Is literally just 10 minutes of like listening, and every time you find a cat, it goes meow, and it's fun. and genuinely enjoyable. I believe they have a whole bunch of other ones set. The ones coming out each quarter. It costs a quid, and I have wishlisted all of them, and I'm, I'm looking forward to playing them on goddamn release. Yeah.
I mean, this is a whole genre now that took, you know, because for years we had hidden object games. I've played my fair share of hidden object games, but now there's either bought it or played the demo of Hidden Folks.
Hidden Folks.
Hidden Folks.
Okay, nice.
On the Switch, it might be out for other things, which is essentially the same. It's like it looks like a hand-drawn, you know, cartoon scene.
Yep.
And then you've got a bunch of things on the bottom to find, but if you like, click various bits of the images, things will happen. Yeah, and that's it. That's it. That's all there is to it. And yeah, it's a fun. It's like surprisingly fun way to just pass some time.
Yeah,
and appreciate this man. You know, it's a digital Where's Wally done right, I think.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's done right. The company is called Travelin' Cats, and they've got some other ones coming up. So they've got Hidden Cats in Maple Hollow, Hidden Cats in Georgia. Mm. And Hidden Cats Around the World.
Oh, nice.
So I think that may be their ambitious one there. But yeah, like, it's a quid, and it was so silly.
That's really sad. If you look for Cats Hidden in Paris on Google.
Yeah.
From the 7th result onwards, it's people providing the answers. You know, it's like a screenshot of the entire thing with all the cats. Like,
yeah.
Followed him. Come on. Is that for people trying to, like.
It's not hard. There's actually hints in the game
that's
as well.
The whole point of the game. I know, it's not like, you know, which trainer do I have to fight to get the amulet coin in order to increase my. It's like, that's the whole point of the game, to find the cats.
I mean, Google is a way to find them.
Obviously there's a demand for it, but you know, who's speedrunning Cats Hidden in Paris?
Well,
I mean,
the second mode is to speedrun it. So, yeah, technically, yeah, I could see people doing the research. It's like, okay, I've done the 100, now I need to do the timed version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to break into the top 10,000 leaderboards for Cat Hidden.
Yeah. 100 versus Cats Hidden in Paris. Yeah.
Imagine.
Right.
That's great.
But yeah, it's just a silly little thing. It doesn't deserve more than that, but.
Does what it does.
Does what it does. Does what it does well, and it makes you smile.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
What a difference between a game where you're ripping people's heads and spines out.
No! Forcing icicle spears into eyelids, you know.
And you're just gently finding cats hidden around the international scenes. Lovely.
Hand-drawn cats as well.
Hand-drawn cats.
Right, okay, let's bring this to a close.
Yes, that guy is a maniac.
Why did he hide my cat in Paris?
Why did he hide my cat in Paris?